Blog Talk Radio.
And good morning, everybody, to another great edition here. We have a Suspense Radio one-on-one dealing and talking with the authors that are on tour as part of Partners in Crime. And today's author we're going to have on is going to be Joseph Bedall, who is writing the series of the Dan Wurst series, or the Dan Wurst Saga, so he calls it. And this is book four that is now out, came out at the end of June, called The Lone Wolf Agenda. His physical tour for Partners in Crime kicks off here on Thursday. We're great to have him on early. And we're going to hear everything in the next 30 minutes because Suspense Radio one-on-one begins right now. Welcome back, everybody, and we want to welcome you wherever you're listening, however you're listening, whenever you listen to the show. Again, thank you so much for supporting Suspense Radio one-on-one and all the shows that we have going on here on Blog Talk Radio. So I want to welcome our guest to the show. Again, his name is Joseph Bedall. This is the fourth book in the Bob Danforth saga called The Lone Wolf Agenda. The action is heating up, a lot of things happening and going on. So, Joseph, we want to thank you so much again for coming on. How you doing, my friend?
Doing great, John, and thanks for having me. It's always a pleasure.
So, here we go. Book four, Bob Danforth, coming back when he starts off in the Nostradamus secret, going through terror cells and evil deeds, and now you come out with the Lone Wolf Agenda. Give everybody a little bit of sense about the Lone Wolf Agenda that might not be on the back cover, and how Bob has kind of continued on now through his saga.
Well, you know, it's kind of interesting what's happened to Bob. You know, my books are chronologically correct, so he's aging as we go through the four books. And the first one, Evil Deeds, started out with based on actual kidnapping of our 2.5-year-old son when we were in Greece when I was stationed with the Army. And at that time, Evil Deeds started out and was loosely based on that kidnapping, and Bob was in his late 20s and a Vietnam vet and so forth, and now he's in his late 60s, retired, and so he gets recruited out of retirement by the CIA to manage a top-secret operation called Operation Lone Wolf. And it was kind of interesting, John, that, you know, here we've got this book that I started writing well over a year ago and talking about lone wolves. And the next thing we know, we've got real life lone wolves operating in this country. And the term has become much more used by the intelligence community and the media. So, and most recently, of course, with what happened at the Boston Marathon.
Yeah, when you write, you know, like when you write political, military thrillers, and then all of a sudden what you've had in your head actually comes to life in real time, How does that kind of make you feel as an author?
Well, you know, I'm kind of torn because, I mean, first of all, I'm not foolish enough to believe that anybody knew what I was writing and used it as a basis for some kind of an attack. But, you know, I've always believed that if man can conceive of something, then it can come true. And, you know, you think back about Tom Clancy's book where he has the airliner crash into the Capitol. Well, that mm-hmm. happened well years before 2001 and 9/11. You know,
true.
Vince Flynn and Brad Thor have written about events that could happen and have subsequently happened on multiple occasions. And so, when you think about all of the teasers that I had available to me, and, you know, put aside Lone Wolf Terrorist for a minute, the Lone Wolf agenda is really about what would OPEC do if the United States became or threatened to become energy independent? What kind of impact would that have on OPEC? Well, it would be devastating. And so,
right.
So I start thinking, well, what could a terrorist group or what could a lone wolf terrorist do to damage our ability to become energy independent? Well, the quickest and easiest way would be to, and the way that makes most sense is to basically disable our oil pipeline system. And so that's what the terrorists come after, and they're OPEC sponsored. So there's something that hasn't happened, but could very well happen. And wrapped into this story is quite a bit of involvement of Mexican drug cartels and they're crossing the border into the United States with impunity and just a lot of stuff that you can rip right off the headlines. You know, some of this obviously is made up, but the details are made up, but the general concepts, you don't have to make this stuff up. It's going on.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, that's one thing that you have consistently said, no matter what you've been interviewed in or where you've been spoken or where you've talked, is that, like you always say, you don't have to make these things up because, I mean, they're already there. I mean, they're sitting right in front of you. People would just open their eyes and look, you know, and
yep.
a lot of the things that you're talking about, you know, Woodrow Wilson talked about oil independence back when he was president. A lot of people don't remember that's how early it's come back. Now, you know, come 100 years later and we're still not to that point, but we're maybe closer to that point. So things that you write about now in the Lone Wolf Agenda, and you continue on with Bob Danforth, are things that might not be true today, but could be true 5 years from today. And that's
right.
kind of a scary thought when you write, you know, political thrillers in the genre.
No, I think that's absolutely correct. And, you know, there some thriller authors like Vince Flynn, and just what a loss when we lost him earlier
yeah.
this month, but actually sit on a committee that consults with the intelligence community. And basically his job and the other authors on this committee's job are to basically do what-if scenarios. And, you know, there's nobody that has a more fertile imagination than a mystery or thriller writer, so the intelligence community's figured that out and is using them.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I mean, they're the ones that have, I guess, I don't know if it's whether all the ideas, but they're the ones that definitely are, can sit around and think up a bunch of stuff that, hey, if a writer can think about it, a criminal can think about it. I mean, it's not that far-fetched for someone to think the same way that, you know, a thriller writer like yourself is thinking about a plot line. It's the same thing.
Right.
You're just putting it in a book, and they want it to happen in real life. And so the question kind of, you know, because political military thrillers are very, I guess, they're in the genre. I mean, the people that read them are extremely loyal, but it's also difficult to grab new fans and get them, you know, excited about the genre that you're writing. Do you feel that it's because of what you write and maybe so close to home and these things do happen and they do affect real lives, that it does make your job as an author more difficult to sell your story to the fans is, look, it's just fiction. It's not really real.
Well, no, I think people that like to have an adrenaline rush will read this kind, read the thriller and mystery genres, and maybe particularly the subgenre that I write. I think they like that fact that they can get a little bit of a rush. I think as far as your question about or your point about getting some momentum and getting fans, I think it's just a matter of word of mouth. I think once an author has a body of work so that readers can, I don't think readers want a one-hit wonder. I mean, I think they want, if they find somebody they really like to read, they want to read more and more and more. And you know, I'm on a pace now, putting out one book a year, and I think that gives enough supply, so to speak, to readers of the genre that, each of my books I'm getting more and more traction, and I think what's going to happen is that one of these days there'll be plenty of word of mouth. And I think something else that's going on, a lot of the big names aren't writing their own books anymore. And,
that's true, too.
They're having them co-authored, and in some cases there's been no drop in quality, in other cases there have been. So I think there, as readers get disillusioned with one author, they look for new authors, and so thank God for Suspense Radio. You're helping me get the word out.
You know, and just in case people, want to know, your background is so... it has so much depth to it. I mean, your resume is so, it's so involved because you've been, classified positions in the U.S. Army. You did tours in Greece. You were in Vietnam. So you've been living into that life for a long time. You've also been involved in government as being part of the State House of Representatives for New Mexico. So you've kind of seen everything that there has to offer. So when you create a character like Bob Danforth in the sagas, I mean, he can come from many different places and people that you've encountered within your life to make it just that much more believable. So when people read your books, like The Lone Wolf Agenda, they know that it's coming from a place of truth and a place that you've lived.
Well, that's an interesting point. And, the thing that I try and do with Bob and candidly with all my characters is that I want them to be everyday heroes, but everyday people. I'm not looking for superheroes, guys that can or gals that can leap tall buildings with a single bound. You know, and I won't mention the book or the author, but the protagonist in a very successful thriller jumped out of a helicopter over the Vatican holding four corners of a tarpaulin, it just strained all credibility. And
you mean angels and demons?
Yeah, well, I didn't say that.
You're talking about Dan Brown's book and Angels and Demons, because I'll call it out for what it is, because Dan Brown is an author that stole a lot of writing. He got sued for it, threw his wife under the bus when he wrote The Da Vinci Code, because the real book that people should read is Holy Blood, Holy Grail. And I'll say it because it's true. And just because he went to court and was actually maybe not found guilty of whatever he did it. And that's just the thing it was. That's why no one read his books, Digital Fortress, and the ones before that. And he's an author that thinks that he's greater than God, and therefore he won't give the local fans any kind of agenda to talk to. So I have no problem with calling him out. So go ahead and continue.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
Bob Danforth is an American patriot whose job most often gets in the way of his family life, which is not uncommon for men and women today in America. People work very hard. Their families suffer, at least from a time standpoint, as a result. But Bob is confronted with obstacles, with challenges. And it's really a matter of character whether Bob or whoever the character might be rises to the occasion and meets the challenge. And I think that's the kind of the underlying philosophy of all of my protagonists, is that they ultimately, they may hesitate at times, but they ultimately rise to the occasion and do the right thing. And it's a matter of character. I truly believe that people that live a character-filled life are people that are true contributors to society in many ways. And Bob Danforth truly is that kind of guy.
Yeah, and that's the one thing, too. And, again, we're speaking here with author Joseph Badal, and it's josephbadalbooks.com, and that's B-A-D-A-L is how you spell his last name. The book is The Lone Wolf Agenda that has just come out, and, again, it's the fourth in the Bob Danforth series. So when you're looking back and you're seeing kind of how the series has kind of progressed, and like you said, that Bob has kind of come, you made the timeline correct, so, now he's older than when he first started. When you look now past, the Lone Wolf Agenda and further into the series, do you have an idea of maybe who's going to continue on with this saga? Do you have some secondary characters that you feel, are viable enough to take the passing of the torch? Have you kind of been thinking about that future?
Yeah, I actually have been thinking about it a lot, John, and it's, A lot of my fans really like Bob and like what he stands for, and it's going to be very difficult. I really don't want to kill him off, but his son Michael, and by the way, you mentioned Bob, but Bob's wife Liz has been an integral part in the series, but their son Michael, who's now in his 40s and is a senior officer with Delta Force, is probably a pretty good character to continue the series. I've introduced a fellow by the name of Carlos Garcia in this book who's a state former Navy SEAL, state police officer in New Mexico, and I'm thinking he might be also a good character to add to the mix. I've added a couple of very strong female characters, so when I wrote The Lone Wolf Agenda, I really had in mind that it kind of needed to take, the series needed to take a slightly tangential move away from where it's been. So I think you ask a very good question, and I haven't decided finally what I'm going to do, but I'm moving in that direction.
So I guess you can kind of say that when you're writing the books, your characters are almost actually auditioning for the parts. And it just depends on which one maybe steps up to the plate in future, maybe the next book or the book after, that then all of a sudden as an author you just kind of feel like that's the one that's going to take it on. And, and I think it's kind of exciting for an author like yourself to not really know what maybe the future holds, because then it becomes exciting for you also.
No, very true, and I love your reference to auditioning for the part. Both Carlos Garcia and Michael Danforth are they're kind of two-dimensional in The Lone Wolf Agenda, and so what I've got to do is decide if I'm going to move forward on their backs. I'm going to need to flesh them out a little bit more, but absolutely right. I love that. I love the way you put that.
So you have a new fan, and they're seeing you at a book signing, and let's say, because you're around New Mexico, you do a lot of book signings around the Santa Fe, Albuquerque area, and so somebody comes up to you, they're walking into the bookstore, and then they kind of see that cover, which just kind of blows you away. I mean, you see that cover with the wolf on one side, the guy on the other, and they say, wow, okay, what is this? And then you tell them. Then they say, oh, should I go back and read the beginning? How do you explain the series to someone brand new when they see the Lone Wolf Agenda is out, but they want to go ahead and they want to start, getting into what you're writing?
Well, every one of the four books in the series, Evil Deeds, Terror Cell, The Nostradamus Secret, and The Lone Wolf Agenda, can be read as standalone thrillers. And there's just enough reference to the previous books in each one that that it allows people to kind of get an understanding of where Bob and Michael and Liz have come from. But but if somebody that just wants to try me out, I tell them just read The Lone Wolf Agenda. It's the most current and most up-to-date from a current event standpoint. But if somebody mentions to me that they really love a series or they really love to follow characters as they, you know, progress through their careers and through life, then I'll recommend they go start with Evil Deeds, just because I know they're going to love following Bob and Liz through this 40-year journey they've been through.
Yeah, and I think that that's very interesting, and I think a lot of people like to write, you know, even when they're writing the series, they do it in a way where you can kind of jump in whenever you want, and then you can go back as you want, or you can kind of go forward as you want, and you're not losing, you know, the character at all, because every book is just, it's like just another chapter in their life, and just depends on where you decide to catch them at in the chapter and how you're going to do it.
Yep.
So, yeah, I mean... And when you're going here now, and now you're there on this tour, Partners in Crime, first time you work with them so far, is this something that's kind of brand new to you, and that this is something that authors, you know, need to get more involved in because of how technology is going? And I know you do a lot of book signings at bookstores,
right,
but do you feel that you get more fans by doing, you know, more of the electronic, sitting at home, doing more blogs, radio shows like this, than you still do by going out to a bookstore and meeting people face-to-face?
Well, you know, first of all, there are fewer bookstores than there used to be, which is a shame. But
that's true. Yeah.
But the and so many people are going digital that it's becoming less and less economical, or it makes less and less business sense to do national tours like I've done with my previous books. But Partners in Crime and their whole blog tour is an amazingly creative invention, and it's I am so grateful to Partners in Crime for doing what they do, because they're just another arrow in the quiver that every author needs to avail themselves of. It's, you know, an author needs to be on social media, they need to be Twittering and be on Facebook, they need to use Wattpad. Get involved with Goodreads and book clubs and so forth. But if they leave out a tour like Partners in Crime provides, they're not unarmed, but they're inadequately armed. So I think that it's very exciting having a partner such as Partners in Crime. And the thing from my standpoint, John, is that I'm in the middle of a revolution. I mean, I retired a few years ago and from a finance career, and all of a sudden, you know, when I started my writing, I was right in the middle of the traditional publishing model, you know, where you've got agent, publisher, editor, distributor, retailer, and so forth. Well, now all of a sudden, you basically don't need any of them. Now I happen to have an agent, a publisher, but you don't need them anymore. And so, you know, the good of it is that there were some really good authors that never got published before that now can get published. The bad news is there's some really bad authors that never got published before that can get published.
They shouldn't
now,
have been published, but they are published, yeah. I mean, that's what I always say. If you look at just from a business standpoint, right now the supply has, I think, outlasted the demand, and it's difficult for readers to decide, okay, I got $25 here or whatever, and I got my Kindle, and I'm going to buy 5 books. And let's say, because they're priced at $4.99. Which way do I go? Now, that's a good thing, because now they can buy 5 books instead of 1 hardcover book, so that's good. But the bad thing is there's so much supply now because the publishers are no longer able to control how much supply comes out like they used to.
Right.
That how do that now that reader has to get, you know, where they're going to spend their money. And I think it's a great time for readers and a difficult time for authors just for that reason. And you're probably feeling the same thing.
Yeah, no, I think that's right, except that I think, you know, it used to be that readers could just be force-fed whatever the major publishing houses offered. Today,
right.
I think it's incumbent upon the readers to become more educated, not just to read the individual authors, but become more educated about the genre and about the industry. So a smart reader is following Partners in Crime. A smart reader is reading Suspense Magazine and Deadly Pleasures and you know, other places where they can get reviews about authors and their work. And in so doing, what's happening now is that you've got an organization like Partners in Crime or Suspense Magazine that are basically acting as that quality filter that agents and publishers used to perform. And so, I read Suspense Magazine every time it comes out from cover to cover because I learn about authors that I was not aware of before, with rare exception, have I had been disappointed by somebody that, you know, by the work of an author that was given a good review by Suspense Magazine.
Yeah, I mean, of course, you know, since we are Suspense Magazine, it's a little difficult sometimes, and everybody and every viewer has their own way of putting things together. And we always try to say, you know what, we don't give negative reviews because there's always a market for something out there. But you know what else a smart reader does? This is what else a smart reader does. And I'm going to tell anybody who's listening or when they listen later, a smart reader goes right now to Amazon.com and orders The Lone Wolf Agenda by Joseph Bedall to check out everything that's going on with the Bob Danforth saga and to get the rest of the books, because when you are thriller readers and you like action, you like adventure, you like different types of plot lines that are all weaved together and then come down to the end, that's exactly what we have here in The Lone Wolf Agenda. And, Joseph, it's been fabulous to be able to talk with you on the phone and get the insight about the books, because, you know, we always like to hear everything that you got going on. And so we want to thank you for coming on and being Suspense Radio one-on-one today.
Well, you're very nice, John. Thank you so much. And I wish I was recording that plug. I'd put it out on the
I'll send it to
web.
You. Don't you worry. As soon as it's done, it's on demand, and you can take it and you can send it wherever you want.
You're the man.
All right, Joseph, you have a good one, and we will talk with you later, okay?
Thank you very much.
All right. So, again, everybody, Joseph Bedall, and it's josephbedallbooks.com, B-A-D-A-L, books.com, to find out all the information you want, not only on Bob Danforth's saga with The Lone Wolf Agenda, but everything that Joseph has going on, blog, he has, you know, appearances, bibliography, everything about all of his other books. That might not be involved because he has a couple other standalones that are not involved in the Danforth saga to check everything out. So go to josephbedallbooks.com. If you're an author, you definitely want to check out Partners in Crime Tours because it's a place that you need to go to find more fans and to find more readers. And if you don't do it, don't complain when you're not selling and you're wondering why, what's going on. So, again, everybody, we want to thank you so much for joining us. We will be back next Sunday with our next Suspense Radio one-on-one, and that is going to be none other than J.M. LeDuc. And then August the 11th, we have New York Times number one best-selling author Faye Kellerman here on Suspense Radio one-on-one. Check out suspensemagazine.com. Click on the Suspense Radio button to see everybody that we got coming up. Until next Sunday, everybody, have a safe and happy one. Goodbye.